Cricket took his birth, and we heard about that in chapter 12. The activities that are described in chapters 16 and 17 are precursors to the story of how Maharaj Cricket was cursed by the Brahmin boy and how the Bhagavatam ultimately was spoken to him as he fasted by the bank of the Ganges River, having vowed not to eat, not to drink, not to sleep until the moment of his death. So these activities of Maharaj Cricket that are described in chapter 16 and 17 show the power of this personality. Actually, as we heard in chapter 12, he was empowered. He was an exalted Mahabhagavat. No one can rule as Maharaj Cricket ruled without being a representative of the Lord, without being pure. By the virtue of his pure devotion, by the virtue of the fact that his ruling was a devotional offering to Krishna, and also he himself was so qualified and so trained, but it was his devotional offering to Krishna, then Krishna could act through him so powerfully. Because Maharaj Cricket had no other motive within his consciousness except to rule in such a way that Krishna would be pleased. So therefore, when we look at his activities, we will see that they are very wonderful. They are balanced. They are full of all religiosity. They are full of fine discrimination. They are full of power. Everything actually that Maharaj Cricket did was on this level of purity, exactly perfect in every instance. So there is much to be learned for us, although none of us are kings. But yet, because he was a great devotee, his activities are full of so many lessons for us. Because all his activities are ultimately behind the curtain of what is going on the external level, everything that such an exalted person does is connected with Krishna and Krishna's service. And actually for that reason, Krishna's hand is moving within the activities of Maharaj Cricket. So let us hear about this, how Cricket Maharaj received the aid of Kali. Because Krishna Swadham Upagate Dharma Jnana Devisaha Kalo Nastadrishamesha Puranarko Dunoditaha. The light of the Bhagavatam comes when the son of Krishna sets from this world. And as soon as Krishna departs from this world, immediately Kali enters. So Maharaj Cricket's birth was just prior to Krishna's departure from this planet, but his taking up the kingship of the world was just after Krishna left. So immediately Kali entered. Let us hear the activities of Maharaj Cricket. Suta Goswami said, "O learned Brahmana," Brahmana, as he's speaking to the sages of Namasharanya, "Maharaj Cricket then began to rule over the world as a great devotee of the Lord." So we heard the birth of Maharaj Cricket and how the astrologers offered so many predictions about his greatness. And then prior to that, that was chapter 12. Then in chapter 13, prior to that, we heard how Dhritarashtra just after Krishna left the planet, Vidura came and pulled Dhritarashtra out of his position of wasting the remainder of his human life. It's an old man just caring about the comforts of his body. And he told, Vidura said, Dhritarashtra, you leave now, because Kali Yuga, the age of quarrel, Manda Sumanda Matayo, Manda Abhagya Upadrutaha, where everyone is unlucky. Where everyone's minds are so disturbed, you leave now before this age of Kali with its claw grasps the population. It is already starting, because Krishna had already left. Leave now. So he pulled him out. That was chapter 13. And then in chapter 14, we hear how Yudhisthira is watching the auspiciousness descend upon his kingdom that was previously filled with all auspiciousness. Everything good, everyone was peaceful, prosperous. There is the atmosphere becomes surcharged with spirituality. When there's a kirtan, when there is an Vaishnava Homa sacrifice being performed, just to walk in the temple room where the deities are being worshipped properly, to associate with a holy person, immediately there is the atmosphere is surcharged with something special that everyone is really longing for. And when that is absent due to the age of Kali, it is like darkness descending upon this world. So Maharaj Yudhisthira, even powerful as he was, saw that the symptoms of Kali had descended, and he was waiting to find out if Krishna had left. When Arjuna returned in chapter 15, he heard the bad news that Krishna had left this world. And that was the sign that he was waiting for, that was pre-told by Narada Muni. That when you find out that Krishna has left this world, it is time for you also to leave. So immediately, Maharaj Yudhisthira performed the proper ceremonies, installed Maharaj Prickett, a qualified descendant, as the king, and he immediately left, undid his hair with its fine oils, took off his crown, the belt of royalty, his royal garments, renounced them, did not speak, and just wandered towards the north, focusing his mind fully upon Krishna, detached. And then finally rejoining Krishna in his lila. All the Pandavas also left. And again, before he did leave this world, before he left this kingdom, he placed Maharaj Prickett in charge, who is a trained up and qualified king. So, Suta Goswami asked, O learned brahmanas, or rather he told them, Maharaj Prickett then began to rule over the world as a great devotee of the Lord under the instructions of the best-born brahmanas. He ruled by those great qualities which were foretold by the expert astrologers at the time of his birth. So we just heard of those qualities. Now, this chapter that we're going to, if Krishna allows, complete today, describes the wonderful reign, some of the wonderful reign of Maharaj Prickett, based on those auspicious, powerful, kingly qualities. And in the verses, that is described, and very often Prabhupada in this chapter condemns modern civilization. Prabhupada is sometimes very sarcastic when he describes it. Sometimes he is very heavy, because this contemporary civilization is truly a soul-killing civilization. Soul-killing in that the finer sentiments, the religious sentiments, the sentiments of man that are find, that lead one towards higher truths, to using one's human life properly. These are mercilessly destroyed in this civilization. Why or how? By the infiltration and the domination of the age of Kali. So some symptoms of the age of Kali will also be described. And the cause of Kali's descent and the misery of the world will also be described. And this chapter and the next chapter, chapter 17, go together. And we will be complete chapter 17, Krishna willing, this week. So Prabhupada, in describing in his purport to this verse, where he describes how even though Maharaj Prickett was such a powerful ruler and he was empowered, still he took advice from the brahmanas. And Prabhupada explains in the middle of this purport, therefore the rules and regulations were standard and without flaw or defect. Kings like Maharaj Prickett had councils of advisors, and all the members of that council were either great sages or brahmanas of the first order. In other words, the peoples who were advising him were not selfish individuals. They had fine brains, and they were fully familiar with the shastras, with the religious principles. And amazingly enough, they did not accept any salary. Nor had they any necessity for such salaries. In fact, they refused to be under the employ, to be working for the king. Why? Because as soon as you are dependent upon the salary, you have to flatter him. You can't speak your mind openly. And you have to ultimately agree with what he said. But these brahmanas were sages. They were independent, independently thoughtful, renounced personalities. The story is told of how Chanakya Pandit, who had advised Maharaj Chandragupta, he had advised him, the great Maurya king, he was advising him, and by his instructions, by the Brahmana Chanakya's instructions, Chandragupta had taken over the kingdom back from the Nanda kings. So it is told how once Chanakya Pandit offered some advice and Chandragupta refused it. He did not take it. And immediately Chanakya Pandit said, very good, no problem, I'm leaving. Because he was living here, even though he was so powerful, he was advising the king, and the king was practically dependent on him. He was living in a little cottage outside somewhere. Little cottage, fully renounced, independent. You want my advice? Okay, it is free. If you don't want it, okay, I'm not needed. So immediately, he began to leave from his cottage, completely detached. So, the power of the Brahmin's renunciation is very strong. So immediately, the king had to come and immediately apologize. Yes, I will take your advice. Prabhupada continues, they did not accept any salary, nor had they any necessity for such salaries. The state, and Prabhupada puts this in italics for emphasis, the state would get the best advice without expenditure. The best advice without expenditure. What a combination. Prabhupada always was practical. They were themselves samadarshis, equal to everyone, both man and animal. They would not advise the king to give protection to man and instruct him to kill the poor animals. Such council members were not fools or representatives to comprise a fool's paradise. They were all self-realized souls, and they knew perfectly well how all living beings in the state would be happy, both in this life and the next. They were not concerned with the hedonistic philosophy of eat, drink, be merry, and enjoy. They were philosophers in the real sense. And they knew well what is the mission of human life. Under all these obligations, the advisory council of the king would give correct directions, and the king, or executive head, being himself a qualified devotee of the Lord, would scrutinizingly follow them for the welfare of the state. The state in the days of Maharaj Yudhisthira or Maharaj Prickett was a welfare state in the real sense of the term, because no one was unhappy in that state. They were all in the state of happiness. Be he man or animal, there wasn't constant fear. Fear from the thieves, fear from the tax collectors, fear from this, fear from that, fear from the murderers. Maharaj Prickett was an ideal king for the welfare state of the world. Text 2. Maharaj Prickett married the daughter of King Uttar. That was, and his mother was also named Uttar. And this Uttara was his cousin. This was the brother of his mother. So it was considered in those days that if the family was different, if the gotra was different, this marriage was acceptable amongst cousins. So he married the daughter of King Uttara, and he begot four sons headed by Maharaj Janmanjaya. Maharaj Prickett, after having selected Kripacharya for guidance as his spiritual master, performed three horse sacrifices on the banks of the Ganges. These were executed with sufficient rewards for the attendants, and at these sacrifices, even the common man could see demigods. So how successful were his sacrifices? Once, when Maharaj Prickett was on his way to conquer the world, he saw the master of Kali Yuga, the personification of Kali, who was lower than a sudra, disguised as a king, and herding the legs of a cow and a bull. The king at once caught hold of him to deal sufficient punishment. So, the king, and this king especially, although the entire world was under the jurisdiction of Maharaj Yudhisthira, and he had inherited that, still, because he was the new king, he had to make sure that everyone, all the other subordinate kings, had their allegiance to him. So if they did, they would offer him some tribute and give him the taxes. And if they didn't, there would be fight. So, he really, because everyone was subordinate to him already and everyone accepted that he was the ruler, he was going around the kingdom taking a tour to make sure that the kingdom, all the different kings, were ruling according to the godly and religious principles. He wanted to make sure that everything was being done properly under the guidance of Shastra. And as one day, as he was touring, as he was coming back from his tour, it is described, he was astonished to see this personification of Kali Yuga, who was a low-class man dressed as a king, and he was doing something heinous. He was astonished because such a thing was never seen within his kingdom, that a cow or a bull, the personifications of religiosity and goodness of the earth and of religiosity were beaten, cruelly given trouble, where they had tears in their eyes, because cows are such innocent animals, and as we know, they are they have to be protected. But Krishna is so fond of cows. Namo Brahmanya Devaya, Go Brahmanyataya, Chadagaritaya Krishna. And even more fond of cows than the Brahmins. So the cows are at the top of the list of when a kingdom is to be ruled properly, the cows must be protected. What to speak of beaten, what to speak of slaughtered. Because if irreligious, ungodly activities take place, the whole civilization goes down. People nowadays are thinking in terms of making society happy by economic development, and only, and no one is thinking of a society being happy by following religious principles. But to speak of being aware of the value of protecting Gomata, mother cow. So he punished him, and that is what we're going to hear about in the next several, in this chapter and the next chapter. Prabhupada explains in the last paragraph of his purport. The age of Kali means mismanagement and quarrel. And the root cause of all mismanagement, maybe we can open the door. The root cause of all mismanagement and quarrel is that worthless men with the modes of lower class men who have no higher ambition in life. This is very interesting how Prabhupada puts that together. This is what it means to possess a lower nature or lower modes, be under the control of the lower modes of nature. It means that the person has no higher ambition in life. Basically, he's an animal due to his ambition. His ambitions rest simply on the animal level of, I want to eat properly, comfortably, I want to sleep comfortably, I want to mate comfortably, and defend efficiently. This is the limit of his thinking. And yet everyone is so dissatisfied with that. And when the rulers, the managers of a country, of a society, are on this level, then what happens? It means that they have no integrity, because their ultimate principle is sense gratification. So ultimately, because that's their ultimate desire, so they will sell whatever they believe for increase of sense gratification, especially money. Everyone is basically a prostitute in Kali Yuga. Whatever they believe, it's just a matter of settling the price to give up their belief. Because their ultimate belief is only sense gratification. So therefore, by principle, they cannot have integrity. So therefore, the result of such people being in management is quarrel and mismanagement. They come to the helm of state management. Such men at the post of king are sure to first hurt the cow and the Brahminical culture. This is the first thing. Thereby pushing all society towards hell. Because when these two things go, religiosity diminishes, and then the citizens are thrust into abominable behavior and such misery. So, such men at the post of the king are sure to first hurt the cow in the Brahminical culture, thereby pushing all society towards hell. Maharaj Prickett, trained as he was, got the scent of this root cause of all quarrel in this world. Thus he wanted to stop it in the very beginning. So Shonaka Rishi, heading up the sages, when he heard that Maharaj Prickett had seen this king, or false king, Sudra, dressed as the king, impersonating a king as if he was a king. When he heard that Maharaj Prickett punished him, he was shocked, because such a person should be immediately killed by the king, by the authorities, by the government. Only punished? We can imagine the difference of times. That was, practically speaking, inconceivable to him. That such an irreligious act that had such bad ramifications for the whole world would result in just getting some punishment. So therefore he inquired, why did Maharaj Prickett simply punish him, since he was the lowest of Sudras, having dressed as a king and having struck a cow with his leg, in his leg? It is like someone beating his mother with a stick. Inconceivable to a civilized person. Please describe all these incidents if they relate to Lord Krishna. Because ultimately, and Prabhupada explains it in his purport, that these rishis, even though they were astonished, they were mortified that such an abominable activity could occur, still they were above the dealings of the material world. And even such an activity, as Prabhupada explains it so well, that the person, the offender, he was cheating the public by dressing like a king and at the same time daring to insult the purest of animals, a cow. The rishis in those days, however, could not even imagine that in the advanced days of the age of Kali, advanced, the lowest of the Sudras will be elected as administrators, and they will open organized slaughterhouses for killing cows. They were not interested in this, though, unless it had something to do with Krishna. They were not interested with the ups and the downs, the miseries of the material world. They knew that it was the nature of the world. They were simply interested in the topics of Krishna. For anything that is dovetailed with the narration of Krishna is worth hearing. There are many topics in the Bhagavatam about sociology, politics, economics, cultural affairs, but all of them are in relation with Krishna, and therefore all of them are worth hearing. Krishna is the purifying ingredient in all matters, regardless of what they are. In the mundane world, everything is impure due to its being a product of the three modes of the three mundane qualities. The purifying agent, however, is Krishna. So he continues. Now, the next time that we're going to hear Shonaka Rishi, every once in a while, in the Bhagavatam, he gets extremely fired up. And the next time he's going to get fired up is in the third canto, the second canto. And he really, when he starts criticizing modern civilization, he really does it in such a heavy way. He says here, the devotees of the Lord are accustomed to licking up the honey available from the lotus feet of the Lord. What is the use of topics which simply waste one's valuable life? What is the use of such topics? So realized on this. O Suta Goswami, O speaker of the Bhagavatam, there are those amongst men who desire freedom from death and get eternal life. They escape the slaughtering process by calling the controller of death Yamaraj. As long as Yamaraj, who causes everyone's death, is present here, no one shall meet with death. The great sages have invited the controller of death, Yamaraj, who is the representative of the Lord. Living beings who are under his grip should take advantage of hearing the deathless nectar of the form of the narration of the transcendental pastimes of the Lord. So this sage, Shonaka Rishi, he has realized. What has he realized? that this material situation, every material situation, every material topic that can be described, it is all doomed under the crushing power of the modes of material nature. He was living on the platform of understanding he was a soul, and he wanted to end his term of imprisonment, so to speak, within a material body, and he knew the method of doing this. And that method was hearing about Krishna. So even though the topics about a great king who was noble, who would not tolerate any irreligiosity in his kingdom, even though that is interesting to anyone and everyone, you make a movie or something about a king who is a hero, everyone will flock and see it, but not Shonaka Rishi. Unless that topic would enliven him in his Krishna consciousness. Because when Krishna is being discussed, text 7, Prabhupada explains in the purport, the only hope of suspending the cruel slaughtering process of Yamaraj. People forget this point. We want to forget this point. Everyone is outraged when there is slaughtering of humans in Bosnia or Rwanda or here or there, or 7 people get killed here or 100 people get killed there or 1,000 people there. But what about the fact that everyone in this world is being slaughtered by time? So how to end that slaughter? Oh, humanitarians of the world, how to end that slaughter? And Prabhupada explains, or actually Shonaka Rishi explains, by Yamaraj's presence, then there is no death. There is actually only life due to Krishna Katha. It's explained so nicely by Prabhupada. We can just imagine that someone who doesn't know anything, who is in the fog of material life, somehow or another gets a book like this. And somehow or another they pick it up, not knowing anything. And just imagine what a shock they would get to read, our duration of life is not very long. Usually we just wander around in the fog to think we're living forever. But to hear truth being spoken so clearly is shocking. Our duration of life is not very long, and there is no certainty of when we shall be ordered. Not when will we have to leave, but we will be ordered to leave. Ordered means whether we like it or not, we're going to have to leave this world. Thus, it is our duty to see that not a moment of our life is wasted in topics which are not related with Lord Krishna. Any topic, however pleasant, is not worth hearing if it is devoid of his relation to Krishna. So that's very heavy. And then Prabhupada continues with the positive side. The spiritual planet Goloka Vrindavan, the eternal abode of Lord Krishna, is shaped like the whorl of a lotus flower. Even when the Lord descends to any one of the material planets, he does so by manifesting his own abode as it is. Thus his feet remain always on the same big whorl of the lotus flower. His feet are also as beautiful as the lotus flower. Therefore it is said that Lord Krishna has lotus feet. So this is an explanation of why we say Krishna has lotus feet. So what would a person think of? Because usually when we think of people's feet, we don't think of lotus flowers. So immediately, just by picking up a page of this book, someone's whole life can change. Thinking I am going to die. I am wasting my time. I'm going to be ordered off the planet. No one wants to leave, but they are ordered to leave. But who is this Krishna who has lotus feet? Feet like a lotus flower? A lotus is so soft, pinkish. Krishna is here. He manifests the spiritual world here. How wonderful. I'd like to read just when Shonaka Rishi speaking further. This is the kind of things that he says. This is from the third chapter of the second canto. Both rising and by setting, the sun decreases the duration of life of everyone, except one who utilizes the time by discussing topics of the all good personality of Godhead. Do the trees not live? Do the bellows of the blacksmith not breathe? All around us, do the beasts not eat and discharge semen? Men, who are like dogs, hogs, camels, and asses, praise those men who never listen to the transcendental pastimes of Lord Sri Krishna, the deliverer from evils. One who has not listened to the messages about the prowess and the marvelous acts of the personality of Godhead, and has not sung or chanted loudly the worthy songs about the Lord, is to be considered to possess ear holes like the holes of a snake, and a tongue like the tongue of a frog. The upper portion of the body, though crowned with a silk turban, is only a heavy burden if not bowed down before the personality of Godhead who can award mukti. And the hands, though decorated with glittering bangles, are like those of a dead man if not engaged in the service of the personality of Godhead. The eyes, which do not look at the symbolic representation of the personality of Godhead Vishnu, the Acha Vigraha, are like the eyes printed on the plumes of a peacock, and the legs which do not move to the holy places where the Lord is remembered are considered to be like tree trunks. He so thoroughly condemns materialistic people. The person who has not at any time received the dust of the feet of the Lord's pure devotee upon his head is certainly a dead body. And the person who has never experienced the aroma of the tulsi leaves from the lotus feet of the Lord is also a dead body, although breathing. So when one is thinking like this, one is really qualified to hear Bhagavatam. Certainly, listen to this one. Certainly, that heart is steel framed, which, in spite of one's chanting the holy name of the Lord with concentration, his heart does not change when ecstasy takes place and tears fill the eyes and the hairs stand on end. This is the hearer of the Bhagavatam, Shonaka Rishi, truly a great sage. So Sutta Goswami begins to answer the question. The basic question is, why was this Sudra, this low-class person who was impersonating a king? The position of king is so important because the citizens depend on him. Why was he, who had such a low mentality, who was therefore, practically speaking, hurting the citizens, why was he just punished and not killed? So the story, or the pastime, will now be related by Sutta, Sri Sutta Goswami. He said, while Parikshit Maharaj was residing in the capital city of the Kuru Empire, the symptoms of the age of Kali began to infiltrate within the jurisdiction of his state. When he learned about this, he did not think the matter very palatable. This did, however, give him a chance to fight. And he took up his bow and his arrows and he prepared himself for military activities. What are the symptoms of the age of Kali? Prabhupada explains this in the purport. They are illicit connection with women, indulgence in meat-eating, intoxication, and taking pleasure in gambling. The age of Kali literally means the age of quarrel, and the above-mentioned four symptoms in human society are the root cause for all kinds of quarrel. So people, the government, the citizens, they hate the quarrels, they hate the fighting. But the problem is they love the cause of these things. So therefore they are caught, they are fully addicted and think these things are the greatest things since peanut butter was developed or something. They think it is the greatest thing that ever happened to the world. We have a casino here, gambling and meat eating. We can export, we can kill the animals and send them anywhere. We can eat them ourselves. And illicit sex and topless, bottomless, as Prabhupada would call it. And drinking, alcohol, intoxication. This is our rights, this is our happiness. This is our life. Life without these things is not life. But we don't like the quarrels and we don't like the anxieties. Just get rid of the anxieties for us, please. They are getting in the way of our intoxication and gambling, etc. But these things are the cause. This is the problem. And no one will speak bluntly about this, practically speaking. So Maharaj Prickett was happy because just like a sportsman, when he gets an opportunity to compete in a game, he's thrilled, his heart beats, his adrenaline flows, he's looking forward to it like anything. So the Kshatriyas had this spirit. There's an opportunity to fight, even though it was something abominable that was going on, still it gave him the opportunity to fight, and he was thrilled by that. So he went out to meet this Kali. Maharaj Prickett sat on a chariot drawn by black horses. His flag was marked with the sign of a lion. Being so decorated and surrounded by charioteers, handsome, powerful, strong, surrounded by other forces, he went out to meet this miscreant. Surrounded by cavalry, elephants, and infantry soldiers, he left the capital to conquer in all directions. Maharaj Prickett then conquered all parts of the earthly planet. Bhadrasva, Ketumala, Bharata, the northern Kuru, Kimpurusha, and exacted tributes from the respective rulers, but he was interested in finding out where this Kali was. Wherever the king visited, he continuously heard the glories of his great forefathers, who were all devotees of the Lord, and also of the glorious acts of Lord Krishna. He also heard how he himself had been protected by the Lord from the powerful heat of the weapon of Asatama. People also mentioned the great affection between the descendants of the Vrishni and Prita due to the latter's great devotion of Lord Keshava. The king, being very pleased with the singers of such glories, opened his eyes in great satisfaction. Out of magnanimity, he was pleased to reward them very valuable necklaces and clothing. Maharaj Prickett heard that out of his causeless mercy, Lord Krishna, Vishnu, who is universally obeyed, rendered all kinds of service to the malleable sons of Pandu by accepting posts. This is God, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Because the Pandavas were malleable, they molded themselves to the desires of Krishna. Krishna himself, yeyetam mam prapadyante, he adopted all these roles in relationship to the service of the Pandavas. So Prickit Maharaj heard how Krishna had accepted the following in relationship to the sons of Pandu, from chariot driver to president to messenger to friend to night watchman, according to the will of the Pandavas, obeying them like a servant and offering obeisances like one younger in years. Ajopi sama vayatma bhutaram ishwaropi sam prakriti sam adhistaya sambhavam yapma maya. Krishna is eternal, and yet he's offering obeisances to Maharaj Yudhisthira. When he heard this, when Prickit Maharaj heard this, Krishna's loving affection for the Pandavas, he became overwhelmed with devotion to the lotus feet of the Lord. His purports are also sweet. Now, Sutta said, you may hear from me what happened while Maharaj Prickit was passing his days hearing of the good occupations of his forefathers and being absorbed in thoughts of them. So in text 19, especially 19 through 22, we will hear of the abominable symptoms of Kali Yuga that had descended upon his kingdom, Maharaj Prickit's kingdom, and we will see how these are all what was standard in contemporary civilization. So when he was coming, when Maharaj Prickit was coming, there was a bull who was actually the personification of religiosity, Dharma, and being beaten by this Kali. And also at the same time, Bhumi Devi, the earth, was in the form of a cow, was being beaten as well. So while Dharma, religiosity, was wandering about in the form of a bull, and he met the personality of earth in the form of a cow, who appeared to grieve like a mother who had lost her child. She had tears in her eyes, and the beauty of her body was lost. Thus Dharma questioned the earth as follows. Madam, are you not hale and hearty? Why are you covered with the shadow of grief? And really, the earth is now covered with the shadow of grief. It appears by your face that you have become black. Are you suffering from some internal disease, or are you thinking of some relative who is away in a distant place? So all these actually occur in Kali Yuga. Families are separated too. Everyone has some disease or another disease, and the whole world becomes blackish, covered with soot in the cities and things like that. Prabhupada explains some of these points in the purports. Dharma continued. I have lost my three legs, and I am now standing on one only. Are you lamenting for my state of existence? Or are you in great anxiety because henceforward the unlawful meat eaters will exploit you? Or are you in a sorry plight because the demigods are now bereft of their share of sacrificial offerings because no sacrifices are being performed at present? Or are you grieving for the living beings because of their sufferings due to famine and drought? Very much in detail explained by Prabhupada in the purport. Are you feeling compunction? Are you lamenting for the unhappy women and children who are left forlorn by unscrupulous persons? That children, are there going to be children that grow up without both parents? What's the percentage in Australia at this point? Maybe 40%? Or are you unhappy because the goddess of learning is being handled by brahmanas addicted to acts against the principles of religion, the intellectuals? Sinful? Demonic? Or are you sorry to see that the Brahmanas have taken shelter of administrative families that do not respect Brahminical culture? The so-called administrators are now bewildered by the influence of this age of Kali, and thus they have put all state affairs into disorder. Are you now lamenting the disorder of the world? Now the general populace does not follow the rules and regulations for eating, sleeping, drinking, mating, and they are inclined to perform such activities anywhere and everywhere, especially on Friday and Saturday nights. Are you unhappy because of this? Prabhupada explains in the purport. In this age, the fathers and the guardians are not happy with the behavior of their wards. They should know that so many innocent children are victims of bad association awarded by the influence of this age of Kali. We know from Srimad Bhagavatam that Ajamil was an innocent son of a Brahmana who was walking down a road and saw a Sudra pair sexually embracing. This attracted the boy, and later on the boy became a victim of all debauchery. From a pure Brahmana, he fell down to the position of a wretched urchin, and it was all due to bad association. There was but one victim like Ajamil in those days. But in this age of Kali, the poor innocent students are daily victims of cinemas which attract men only for sex indulgence. And Prabhupada says later, the influence of the age of Kali everywhere, politically, socially, religiously, everything is topsy-turvy. And therefore, for the sane man, it is all regrettable. Dharma continues. O Mother Earth, the Supreme Personality of Godhead Hari incarnated Himself as Lord Sri Krishna just to unload your heavy burden. All His activities here are transcendental, and they cement the path of liberation. You are now bereft of His presence. You are probably now thinking of those activities and feeling sorry in their absence. Because he's saying that Krishna is now no longer gracing the earth with His footprints. We can't imagine. The Prabhupada actually explains it in the purport. We can't imagine the lamentation the earth was feeling. Mother, you are the reservoir of all riches. Please inform me of the root cause of your tribulation by which you have been reduced to such a weak state. I think that the powerful influence of time, which conquers the most powerful, might have forcibly taken away all your fortune, which was adored even by the demigods. The earthly deity, Bhumi Devi, in the form of a cow, thus replied to the personality of religious principles who was in the form of a bull. She was saying, you know what my problem is. You at one time had your four legs, and now you know what has caused you to be on one leg. You know what has happened. But now I will explain to you anyway. O Dharma, whatever you have inquired for me shall be known to you. I shall try to reply to all those questions. Once you too were maintained by four legs, and you increased happiness all over the universe by the mercy of the Lord. And in that Lord, these qualities reside: truthfulness, cleanliness, intolerance. This is Krishna. Now it's very important to listen to these qualities very carefully. Because we are always asked to surrender unto Krishna. We're asked to place ourselves under His care and even be so radical to not even worry about our own maintenance or anything. A very big and heavy demand. Too much, some people think. But when we hear the qualities of Krishna, then we can see that we are placing ourselves in the right hands. So here are the qualities. truthfulness, cleanliness, intolerance of another's unhappiness, the power to control anger, self-satisfaction, straightforwardness, steadiness of mind, control of the sense organs, responsibility, equality, tolerance, equanimity, faithfulness, knowledge, absence of sense enjoyment. Because if the Lord has no desire for sense enjoyment, then He won't exploit us. Leadership, chivalry, influence, the power to make everything possible. That one we especially require. The discharge of proper duty, complete independence, dexterity. Think again of these qualities in relationship to the person who we want to protect us and give us the shelter that we require. Dexterity, ingenuity, gentility, magnanimity, determination, perfection in all knowledge, proper execution. I'm not sure if that means properly executing the people who should be executed. Possession of all objects of enjoyment, joyfulness, immovability. Once his determination is fixed, it is immovable. Fidelity. What does fidelity mean? Loyalty and faithfulness. Fame, worship, pridelessness. Being as the personality of Godhead. Eternity. And many other transcendental qualities which are eternally present and never separated from Him. That personality of Godhead, the reservoir of all goodness and beauty, Lord Sri Krishna, has now closed His transcendental pastimes on the face of the earth. In His absence, the age of Kali has spread its influence everywhere, so I am sorry to see this condition of existence. So both were the cause of her distress. The Lord has left and darkness has descended. These purports, again, are very wonderful. I'll just read a little of this one, just the first few lines. Even if it were possible to count the atoms after smashing the earth into powder, still it would not be possible to estimate the unfathomable transcendental qualities of the Lord. It is said that Lord Anantadev has tried to expound the transcendental qualities of the Supreme Lord with his numberless tongues, and that for numberless years together it has been impossible to estimate the qualities of the Lord. The above statement of the qualities of the Lord, the 40 or so qualities mentioned in this verse, are given just to estimate his qualities as far as a human being is able to see him. And then Prabhupada explains something about those qualities. So Bhumidevi continues. I'm thinking about myself and also, O best amongst the demigods, talking to Yamaraj, about you, as well as about all the demigods, sages, the denizens of Pitri Loka, the devotees of the Lord, and all men obedient to the systems of Vana and Ashram and human society. Lakshmiji, the goddess of fortune, whose glance of grace was sought by the demigods like Brahma, and for whom they surrendered many a day unto the personality of Godhead. She gave up her own abode in the forest of lotus flowers and engaged herself in the service of the lotus feet of the Lord. I was endowed with specific powers to supersede the fortune of all the three planetary systems by being decorated with the impressions of the flag, thunderbolt, elephant, driving rod, and lotus flower, which are signs of the lotus feet of the Lord. But at the end, when I felt I was so fortunate, the Lord left me. O personality of religion, I was greatly overburdened by the undue military phalanxes arranged by atheistic kings, and I was relieved by the grace of the personality of Godhead. Similarly, you were also in a distressed condition, weakened in your standing strength, and thus he also incarnated by his internal energy in the family of the Yadus to relieve you. Who therefore can tolerate the pangs of separation from that supreme personality of Godhead? He could conquer the gravity and passionate wrath of his sweethearts like Satyabhauma by his sweet smile of love, pleasing glance and hearty appeals. When he traversed the earth's surface, I would be immersed in the dust of his lotus feet, and thus would be sumptuously covered with grass which appeared like hairs standing on me out of pleasure. Prabhupada's purport. There were chances of separation between the Lord and his thousands of queens because the Lord being absent from home, because of the Lord's being absent from home. But as far as his connection with the earth was concerned, the Lord would traverse the earth with his lotus feet, and therefore there was no chance of separation. When the Lord left the surface of the earth to return to his spiritual abode, the earth's feelings of separation were therefore more acute. So we can't imagine what the earth was feeling, because for 125 years, the lotus feet of Krishna, from Vrindavan to Mathura to Dwarka to Kurukshetra, all over Krishna, those lotus feet were gracing the earth. So how much ecstasy she was feeling, and she was thinking herself so fortunate, and her opulences were increasing unlimitedly, and Krishna left. Like the sun setting, and then the darkness of Kali began, and the horrible qualities of Kali Yuga and Kali Yuga personalities, they were now beginning to dominate the earth. When just a few moments previously, Krishna himself had walked upon the earth. So we can imagine the despondency of the earth. And dharma, religiosity. When Krishna is present, religiosity shines like the sun. Dharma sanstapanataya ghaniyar bhavati bharata. He comes to reestablish religion specifically. And then when he leaves, Kali comes with its pseudo-religions, atheistic religions, improperly understood religions, cow-killing religions, gambling religions, religions whose purpose is sex life and sense gratification and meat-eating and intoxication. These things become prominent. All cleanliness, all mercy, everything leaves, and religiosity, dharma, hobbles on one leg, and the earth is feeling great misery. And they're being beaten. The earth is being exploited. Holes are being drilled into the earth. Oil sucked out. The water sucked out. The rivers polluted. The trees cut. The vegetation sprayed with poisons. The earth mind inventing great machines to dig up the earth, the poisons put everywhere, the air polluted, and Kali is beating and beating their legs. So we can just imagine what the earth was, how much the earth was missing the presence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So while the earth and the personality of religion were thus engaged in conversation, the saintly king Parikit reached the shore of the Saraswati River, which flowed towards the east. So as they were in such a miserable condition, this great powerful king appears, empowered by Krishna, devotee of Krishna, with his armies, but carrying Krishna's Shakti to rule. So what a joyous moment. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta purports of the first canto, 16th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled How Parikit Received the Age of Kali. So now we'll hear how Parikit Maharaj deals with Kali. And the sages at this point, they're aghast. These things are happening. Okay, thank you. We're so late, so we'll take questions now. Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Sri Parikit Maharaj Ki Jai. Sri Sutta Goswami Shonaka Rishi Ki Jai. Sri Bhumi Devi Dhammaraj Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Gaur Premanande.